A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 22, Orchikar. Din let himself relax, just a fraction. Relief made his knees shake. You could have made yourself a little easier to find if you missed me so much, Din said, taking a few steps closer. Paz didn't suddenly change his mind and light Din up, so Din crossed the remaining space between them and knelt at Paz's side. The stench of a rotten wound nearly overwhelmed him. Paz's whole body was slick with sweat, his normally rich blue skin almost translucent and colorless. His undershirt stuck to his collarbones. "You look awful," said Din, bluntly. He tugged the field kit down off his shoulder. "What happened? Where are you hurt? Strill said you have a broken leg?" Paz snorted. Even that sound was thin.
"Got a bit more than that, Nervod."
Din was startled to hear the rough edges of Mandoa from Paz's helmet. He must have learned from Strill and Shag, Din thought. "Show me," said Din. "I brought supplies. There's more where we're going, but we need to get you stable first."
"Check on the kids first," Paz said. "Kieran, at least, she's got a bad burn, and Took broke his arm."
"I've checked over the kids already," Din said gently. "Kieran's got Bacta for her burn, and Jag's looking after the other two. From what I hear, you're the one with the serious injury."
"You're the one nearly dead with fever," Din didn't say.
Paz was practical. He probably knew that he was sick, dangerously sick. He didn't need Din to point it out. Paz huffed.
"Fine," he said, "if you've seen to the kids."
Slowly, faint tremors racking his hands, Paz shifted to prop himself up further against the wall. The blanket dripped over his lap, slipped some, and Paz took one corner and peeled the blanket away. Din didn't flinch or recoil, but it was a near thing. A terribly sweet, sticky smell filled the air, flooding the intake ports on Din's helmet. Din could see why Paz was so sick. His right leg was broken, and broken badly. Paz had fallen somehow and shattered the thick bone in his thigh 4 or 5 inches above the knee.
Broken femur, Din thought. He couldn't help but hiss.
A broken femur was a long recovery at the best of times, when the break was clean, when proper medical care was right at hand. Paz's break wasn't clean, and while it was clear that someone had tried their best to tend to his injury, setting the bone, strapping Paz's leg between two narrow boards to hold it straight, stitching the wound, the skin of his lower thigh was dark with infection.
"The bone came through your skin?" Din asked, mastering his nausea and leaning closer.
The dim light didn't help much, but Din could see well enough.
"Yeah," said Paz.
There was a jagged gash, 4 or 5 inches long, following the inner edge of Paz's thigh. The skin there was swollen and fetid, weeping around a line of uneven stitches.
"Thought I was dead right there, but my kuta kept me from bleeding out long enough for Strill to get to me."
"How bad was the break? Clean?"
Paz snorted again.
"No," he said. "Came out sharp enough to cut. Cracked one of the smaller bones in my calf, too, I'm pretty sure. The whole leg's bruised." The whole leg was poisoned. There was a bruise. A darker, deeper blue flushed from Paz's groin to his knee, but there were also swollen veins and dark nodes clustered near the edges of the wound. Paz's fever, his tremors, and his sweat, the pallor of his skin, made an awful kind of sense.
"He's dying,"
Din hissed.
"What happened?"
Paz grunted. "Got shot. In the desert," he said. "Some carkhead with a pulse rifle got me. Impact knocked me off the side of a cliff. There's only so much Beskar can do."
"Where were you shot?" Din asked, checking Paz reflexively.
Fennec had gotten Din with her pulse rifle once, the first time they'd crossed paths in the Dune Sea. She'd been 2 clicks away and had still knocked Din flat on his back.
"Doesn't matter," said Paz. "My armor took it. Got a bit of a dent, but it'll survive."
"I'm not worried about your armor, you idiot,"
Din muttered, still searching. There was a dark bruise peeking out from the edge of Paz's undershirt, spanning the front of his shoulder, where he'd taken the pulse rifle's bolt, if Din had to guess. He'd been lucky that it had caught him at the edge of his cuirass and not in any of the gaps between his armor. How far did you fall?
Dunno, 20-25 feet?
Far enough to shatter his leg, then. That explains the smell, Din thought. I'm no welder, Din warned, bending closer to examine the injury. Whoever had strapped Paz's leg straight had done a decent job. The bones had been shoved back underneath the skin at any rate, and the wound had been stitched up, though with so much inflammation around the wound, Din was pretty sure he was going to have to cut it back open anyway. This is pretty serious, Paz. Paz snorted. I'm not a child, he said. I know what a rotten wound looks like. I have Bacta, Din said. Fresh Bacta, even. That'll help with the swelling and the infection. But the bone... A break this bad might not ever heal, not all the way.
There's not much to be done for it, no, Paz said. Not unless you know a good welder.
Din thought for a moment, flexing the fingers on his right hand. His arm ached. I know a medroid, he said slowly. It did, well, my break wasn't half as bad as yours. The Dark Trooper had done its damage, but the break hadn't gotten infected. Din had spent 3 days in Bacta before the medroid had put his arm back together. But it was more than willing to bolt me back into one piece.
A medroid? The Kirk, did you find one of those?
Din smiled faintly. It's been an eventful year, he said.
Yeah, Paz muttered, subsiding a little. That it has.
You got a medroid with you? Din shook his head. No, it's not mine. It's with an ally. I can calm her once we've got you settled. It might be able to make sure the bone is set right anyway. Din didn't want to subject Paz to Bo-Katan and her Talvode, or them to him, if Din was being honest. But if he didn't call for help, Din wasn't sure Paz's leg would heal properly. Paz grunted. I'm less worried about that, he said, and more worried about the whole thing rotting off. I can help with that, at least, said Din, rummaging through the field kit. You still afraid of needles?
Kirk off, Jaren.
That's a yes, then, Din muttered, rolling his eyes. He found one of the hypos and fished it out, checking the label. Antiseptin D, he thought, impressed. That's powerful stuff. Boba or Fennec didn't spare much expense. Din found a trio of painkillers, too, and a syringe full of immobilin. There were even a few small jars of Tihar, labeled in spiky, jagged script. Din hoped that it was to clean a wound or a tool, not to drink, but he supposed that a few jars would take the edge off most injuries. Din showed his haul to Paz. You're getting the antiseptin, he said. But it's your choice if you want Suboxone or Immobilin.
Suboxone, said Paz, almost immediately. I'd rather not feel the leg at all than lie here stiff as a board while you drag me around.
I wouldn't be dragging you, Din said, prepping a vial of Suboxone. As a painkiller, it was decent. Din would have preferred numbspray or Camarin. Too much Suboxone would knock Paz out, and while that would probably help his body heal, Din wasn't sure any of them were in good enough shape to drag an unconscious Paz and all of his armor back to the Huntress. Shaig was big enough to manage it, but if there were Imperials around, Din wanted Shaig fighting. I'd make your trainees do that.
They're not trainees.
Paz had turned his face away from the gleaming edge of the needle.
They've been blooded.
Doesn't mean they're not your trainees, said Din, who had seen Paz take young warriors under his wing before. Strill told me a little bit about how she met you. They were still young enough that they hadn't been set off to explore the galaxy on their own, right?
Right, Paz admitted.
He sounded a little guilty.
I didn't ask them to come with me, you know. I wouldn't steal them.
Din made a noncommittal noise low in his throat and studied Paz's leg. The wound really did look awful. Better work fast, then, Din thought. Neither of them seemed to mind being stolen, Din pointed out, more to keep Paz talking than anything else. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to get out and explore the galaxy a little before you take a place in their covert, or ours if you decided that you did want to steal them. You spent your time in the stars before settling in.
So did you,
Pa said. Din half smiled. Din's time out in the galaxy had been non-traditional, to say the least. Typically, young warriors were sent out for a year or less to gather new skills, to see the galaxy beyond the covert and test their commitment to the creed. Din had been gone for much longer. He'd been stranded on Tatooine. When he'd finally managed to get off planet and find the covert again, Paz and Annika had been half convinced that Din had died. Strill and Jaig will just have more experience than the rest of their age mates when they go back, Din said. That's not a bad thing. Could give them an edge. I think Strill wants to be Baroia.
She'd be good at it, too. She's reckless still, but you were reckless and you managed not to die, so... Kark!
Paz broke off with a snarled curse, hands spasming as he reached for his injured leg. Din, still pressing the hypo to Paz's leg, caught his wrist in his free hand. He pressed down until the syringe was empty.
It's all right, he soothed. Just give it a minute.
Paz grunted, his hands curled and uncurled. Sweat shone at his collarbones. Din waited him out. Simoxin worked quickly. Paz took a few deep, rough breaths, then pressed his head back against the wall.
It's working, he said thickly. I can't. It feels better.
Still hurts?
Everything hurts, said Paz.
Din winced. That was fair. An infection this bad, Paz could probably feel the hurt of it in the back of his mouth.
I'm going to cut out your stitches first, Din told him. Clear out some of the infection if I can. Then we'll do the antiseptin and get you wrapped up with some Bacta, okay?
Just do it, Paz growled.
You don't need to hold my hand, Danica.
Din snorted at the nickname. Paz felt worse than he let on.
Don't grab your wound then, Din said. Keep your hands to yourself.
Fine. Paz tugged his arms out of Din's grip and set them deliberately at his side, curled into loose fists. He didn't need to be told again. Not even as Din shed his gloves, took one of his fared knives out of his boot, poured a measure of Tihar over his hands and the edge of the knife, and quickly cut through Paz's stitches. The stitches were clumsy, laid unevenly over the wound, which was probably part of the reason why the wound had festered. Parts of it hadn't been closed well enough.
Who stitched you up? Din said, his estimation of Strill and Shag's survival skills dropping a little.
I did, Paz muttered. I didn't want the kids to see how bad it was.
Din looked at him, then down at the mess of Paz's thigh.
Shut up, said Paz. You're here now, aren't you?
I think, Din thought to himself, shaking his head before turning his attention back to the wound, that I understand a little more about Boba now. At least I understand why he calls me Denis.
Din didn't repeat the endearment to Paz, who had never appreciated nicknames. Instead, he focused on clearing out the worst of the infection. He had to cut the wound wider, removing flesh that had started to rot. There wasn't much he could do about the dark veins tracing up Paz's leg, the wound leaking poison into the rest of Paz's body, not here. Din could dose Paz up with antiseptin, could clear away most of what had already festered, but blood poisoning was serious enough that Paz needed a proper medbay, not first aid on the floor of a tunnel underneath Arcanus. Paz kept himself very still while Din worked. His skin was feverish, clammy, and faint tremors racked his body from time to time. Din did his best to work fast.
All right, said Din, once he'd gotten as much of the bad wound as he could. There was blood everywhere. I'm going to stitch you up, give you some antiseptin, then we'll get you on your feet, okay?
Just do it, Paz panted. His hands were curled into tight fists now, and the tremors had gotten worse.
Din pressed his mouth into a thin line, concerned, but nodded.
I'll be quick. There was a needle and thick, sturdy thread in the field kit, both of which Din cleaned with another pour of Tihar. Din had more practice stitching a wound than he did at clearing an infection. He worked quickly, pulling the edges of the wound together until they closed, a row of 20 neat dark stitches keeping Paz together. Then he rummaged around in the kit again and came up with a small container of what looked, and smelled, once Din cracked it open, like jurab. Boba stalked this, then, he thought. He was sure that Boba had gotten plenty familiar with Tusken medical care during his time with the spotted Anuba. Din felt marginally better about Paz's chances. Jurab, despite the stink, was good stuff for a bad wound.
Tusken wound glue, Din explained, as Paz caught wind of the smell and started to cough. It made Din's eyes water.
Din wasn't entirely sure what the Tuskens made it out of. Melifa honey and Grand Japur, a whole host of herbs the Tusken grandmothers guarded with their lives. But he knew that the stink came from the rendered bladeback grease.
"What's it do?" said Paz. "With a smell like that, are you sure it's not going to make it worse?"
"It can't get much worse, Paz," Din pointed out quietly. Paz was silent for a minute.
"Yeah, okay," he said, relenting.
"Might as well, right?"
Din uncapped the jar of Jurab and scooped a few fingers out, smearing the substance carefully over Paz's injury. Jurab could keep infection out. It wouldn't do much for an infection that had already set in, but it would at least keep the new edges of Paz's wound clear, and it would hold the stitches in place. Ideally, Paz would sit still for a week or two and let his own body do its healing, but that wasn't really an option now. Din finished with an injection of antiseptin, giving Paz enough warning to turn his head away again, then wrapped Paz's entire thigh up in long, overlapping strips of Bacta. Paz made a protesting noise at the quantity, but Din hushed him.
"There's plenty more where we're going," Din said.
"Moving up in the galaxy, are you?" Paz grunted.
Din shrugged. "I've made some good friends," he said, thinking of Boba and the easy care he'd offered Din without stopping to think about it or count back to patches. "Now, come on. Quit laying there like a dead snapfish and get some clothes on. We've got to go. Jag said he saw a few imp patrols."
Paz swore. "Can't seem to shake them," he muttered. "You're gonna have to help me, Jaren. I'm..."
"It's fine," Din said, to spare Paz's likely already injured pride. Paz had never liked asking for help, not even as a kid.
"Where's your kuta?"
Paz tilted his head to the right, towards his pile of armor. Wordlessly, Din went over and fished out Paz's flight suit, which he tossed, gently, in Paz's direction, then started to collect Paz's armor.
"Can you wear this?" Din asked, arms full of Beskar. "Or do you need it carried out?"
"I have a broken leg, Jaren," Paz growled, wrestling his body into his kuta with hands that still shook. "I'm not a corpse. I'll wear my karking armor."
Din didn't argue. The shape and structure of the Beskar would give Paz's leg some support, anyway.
He went back to his brother and helped him get his arms into the kuta. Paz swore when Din did the same thing for his leg, voice thick with tears, but Din didn't mention that, either. Once he'd gotten Paz strapped and buckled into his kuta, Din helped him fit his armor on. Paz's armor had more pieces than Din's did. Heavy plate was bulky. It was designed to be. Warriors like Paz were frontline fighters. When trouble came to the covert, or an idiot needs rescuing from his own stupidity, Din thought wryly, warriors like Paz were the first to rush into the blaster fire. Paz's armor protected Paz on the battlefield, but it did not make him easy to heave to his feet. Din's back, still sore, his thighs, the muscles in his stomach, complained as Din helped Paz climb, unsteady, until he was standing. Almost all of his weight shifted to his good leg. They swayed for a moment, but Din planted his feet, braced himself, and they managed to stay upright. Paz flung an arm across Din's shoulders. Din grunted. His bruises hurt. But a few sore bruises weren't a broken leg, so he kept his mouth shut. Once Paz was upright and Din was fairly sure he wasn't going to collapse under his own weight, taking Din with him, Din nudged him with a hip and gently, firmly, started them in the direction of the main tunnel. Paz tottered a little, but the painkillers Din had given him were still working. He managed it. He didn't put his bad leg on the ground, hopping more than he was walking, but he managed it. When they emerged into the main hideout again, Din had to blink, surprised. While he'd been tending to Paz, a third foundling, another girl with Pantoran blue skin and a dented Durasteel helmet, had appeared, and Boba and Strill had come back.
Myrta, Din thought.
He studied her. She couldn't be older than 9 or 10, slight as she was, and her clothes were all clearly Kieran's cast-offs, too big in the sleeves. Din couldn't tell if Myrda had been banged up at all or not. Strill was in a corner with her brother, talking urgently. Her hands were tracing a troubling picture in the air. Boba had been mobbed by foundlings. To Boba's credit, he was holding very still. Foundlings from Din's tribe weren't quite as benignly pushy as kids from Mos Pelgo or a pack of Jedi younglings. They hadn't started climbing on Boba and hadn't started tugging at pieces of his armor either, but they were all crowded around him, talking all at once. Boba had apparently decided that his best line of defense was to hold very still, like a mountain in the desert facing a sandstorm. Din couldn't help but smile. He knew that he and Boba were going to... well, he hoped that they wouldn't argue, but they were going to talk. About Din's covert and the creed, about what had happened to Boba's father, about Din being Darmanda, and none of that was anything Din wanted to talk about. He didn't know what Boba would do once he had the entire truth, once he knew all of it. But I can keep the memory of this, at least, Din thought. Paz caught sight of the kids and grunted. They're worse than Vornsker cubs, he muttered, voice pitched low for Din's ears. Din chuckled. You've never been to Merkur, Din said. You don't know what Vornsker cubs are like. He was saved from a scathing reply by the foundlings themselves. The smallest one, the Pantoran, whipped around, caught sight of Paz on his feet, and let out a happy cry. Paz, she said. She flew over to him, the other two foundlings hot on her heels. Be careful, Strill called, but the foundlings didn't listen. They mobbed Paz with much less restraint than they'd had around Boba. Mind his leg, said Din gently. Only Kieran, the oldest, looked up. He's still hurt. Ah, they're all right, Paz grumbled, though his voice was tight with pain. It's nothing. Din raised his eyebrows, disbelieving, even though Paz couldn't see him do it. So if I let you go, you'll stay upright? Paz straightened. Yes, he said, stubborn. Fine, Din said. Don't fall. I'll be back. Kieran, you're the oldest, right? Kieran looked up again and nodded. Din smiled. That means you're in charge, he told her. Don't let Paz hurt himself, okay? The girl nodded again, very serious. I won't, she promised. Din wrapped his knuckles against her forehead gently. Jate, he said, borrowing the word from Boba. I'll be right back. Din slipped out from underneath Paz's arm, checked to make sure Paz stayed upright. He did, and managed to throw a rude gesture Din's way to prove it, and went to join the others. Boba, free of foundlings, had gone to skulk by Strill and Jag. Boba spoke first. How's the injury? He rumbled, jerking a chin at Paz. He looks... well, he's upright. That would be the Samoxin, said Din. And stubbornness. It's not good. He needs a proper medic, at least. A medroid would be better. Strill swore. That bad, huh? You didn't see it? He wouldn't let me, said Strill. We got the bone, well, we got it back in and we wrapped him up, but... He stitched himself up. Badly. Strill swore. The wound's gone off, then. I thought it had, he was so sick, but... He has blood poisoning, said Din. I redid his stitches and cleaned out the worst of the infection and gave him some antiseptin, but I'm not a medic, he needs proper care. And there is some in the town you're taking us to? Din winced. He hadn't even thought of that. Mos Pelgo was so small it probably couldn't afford a trained medic. Its fortunes were turning around now with Boba's business, but Din wasn't sure he'd been introduced to anyone in town who doubled as a doctor or a healer. He'll be fine if we can get him off Arcanus, Din said firmly. He looked between Boba and Strill. Strill was trading looks with her brother, but Boba was watching Paz. Din wished that he could see Boba's face. You two did some scouting, Din said. Find any imps? Planet's crawling with them, Boba said, still watching Paz and the foundlings. Not too many here on this side of things. This outpost's abandoned. The imps have all pulled back towards the city centers, but yeah, there's patrols.
Din cursed. Too many to get off the planet?
Without being seen, yeah.
Din swore again. We can't be seen, he said. With the kids, with Paz this hurt, we're not going to be able to get out of here quickly.
We need a distraction, said Strill. Someone to get the imp's eyes off us, at least long enough for us to get into Atmo out of range. Most patrols don't have anti-ship artillery anymore.
A distraction, Din thought. He hated to think of splitting them up. The presence of foundlings made Din want to pull in, want to keep all of the warriors who could fight close at hand. But Paz, even though he was still upright, wasn't in fighting shape. He couldn't help fend off a patrol if they all got caught out, and with kids in the crossfire.
I'll go, said Boba suddenly, looking away from Paz. I can make a lot of noise when I want to. I know Arcanus a little, if this outpost is set up like the others. Yeah, I can draw some eyes.
Outpost? Din asked, his mind finally catching on the word.
That's what we're living under, Strill said, an old Imperial outpost.
Aren't you running from the Empire?
They don't usually come back to bases they've abandoned, Strill said, defensive.
That's how we're used to living, our covert. Imperial bases are great hideouts. There's tunnels, usually old supplies. We thought there might be medicine here to help Paz.
Din shook his head.
It was too late to argue about Strill's choice of hideout. Din would never bed down in an old Imperial base. The Empire was still around, after all. Just because a base was abandoned didn't mean that everyone had forgotten where it was.
I'll take the kid, too, said Boba, tilting his head in Jag's direction.
The younger warrior lifted his head.
You've got the armor for it. You know how to use that blaster you've got?
Jag puffed up like a Junda bird ruffling its feathers.
Of course I do, he said.
Are you sure? Din asked Boba quietly.
I can go. Someone needs to help Paz. He can't walk on his own, but I can go cause a distraction. I'm easy to spot.
Boba looked at the little knot of foundlings pressed up against Paz, helping him stay upright.
I'm sure, he said gruffly. Jag with me. We'll cause a distraction. Strill, get the kids out. Jarn, you have your vod.
I do, Din confirmed.
He turned back around and rejoined Paz, gently prising the foundlings off of Paz and sending them in Strill's direction. They went tamely enough, though the little fierce one, Myrda, protested and clung to Paz's hands until Din untangled her fingers, gently, and nudged her off after Strill. The boy, Took, grabbed Myrda's hand and held it tight.
Good kid, he thought.
Din shifted so that he was flush against Paz's side, propping him up with a shoulder, and drew Paz's arm across his back. Din hooked his free arm underneath Paz's shoulders. Paz's bad leg was supported between them. With the painkiller still in his system, he'd probably be able to manage walking. He'd be slow, but if Boba was going ahead to clear the way and keep any fire off of Din and Paz, slow should be fine.
You're sure? Boba asked.
Din, bearing most of Paz's weight across his shoulders, nodded grimly. He could get Paz back to the Huntress. He would. The only other option was leaving Paz here, and that was no option at all.
Be careful, Boba said.
Din nodded.
You too.
They both had their helmets on, but their eyes locked for a moment. Din felt it.
Kid, Boba said, looking away first.
Come on, let's see how good you are with that DC, yeah?
Din adjusted Paz's weight again, propping his brother up with his hip, and their group split apart. Boba and Jag loped off down the tunnel, quickly disappearing into darkness, and Strill organized the kids behind her and took off in the opposite direction. Myrda looked back at Paz once. Din could almost feel her worry, concern sharp against him like a knife. Din and Paz followed Strill. She and the kids took off at a jog, which Din couldn't manage. Paz's steps were labored and faltering. Anxiety pounded like a headache behind Din's eyes. He didn't want to send Boba off to face the Empire with just Jag for backup, and he didn't much like letting the foundlings out of his sight either.
But there isn't anything I can do about it.
Boba knew what he was doing, and Strill and Jag had managed to keep themselves and the kids alive for most of a year. Din had to focus on Paz.
They quickly lost sight of Strill and the kids, too. Paz's steps were slow, dangerously slow. Din could feel every labored breath against his own ribs.
"Talk to me," Din said quietly. "Stay with me, Paz. I'm not going to drag you by myself."
Paz grunted.
"You've always been obnoxious," he rasped. "I guess it's good to see that a year away didn't change much."
Din ignored the stab of guilt between his ribs. "If it keeps you awake, I'll start singing," Din threatened. "I've spent more time with the Tuscans. I have a whole new set of stories to sing."
"Please," said Paz, with feeling. "Don't."
Din chuckled. Humans and Tuscans didn't have the same throat structures, so some of the particular intonations a Tuscan story singer could reach, beautiful and haunting like a crate calling over the desert, Din could only mangle.
"It's not far," Din promised him. "Just a little further, and then you can pass out all you want."
"Can't wait," Paz panted.
His breath came in short and fast. Din let them slow down even further, their pace dragging now, just barely limping along, but it didn't help.
It's the infection, I think," Paz said.
"Probably.
If it comes down to me or the kids..."
"The kids are going to be fine," Din interrupted. "Strill's got them. She landed close to the tunnel entrance. They'll make it to the Huntress, okay? And you will, too."
That got a grunt out of Paz. He was leaning so heavily on Din now that they were bowed half sideways, exertion burning in Din's stomach, his calves. His back throbbed, all of his bruises complaining.
"Just a little farther," Din thought. "We're nearly there."
"Why are the imps following you?" Din asked, trying to keep Paz's attention focused on him, on moving forward.
"They should have. We took Gideon down months ago. He was the moth searching for me and the kid."
"I've killed a brace of them by now," Paz grunted. His voice was dark with satisfaction.
Must be 6 or 7 officers now. Plus all the grunts they've sent our way. Found a little outpost when we were staying on Indupar. Had a good time with Strill, killing them all."
Din raised his eyebrow, surprised. "You've been hunting the Empire?" Paz leaned across Din's shoulder even harder.
"Seemed like a good idea at the time," he said. "Hunt them before they hunt us. But it didn't work so well, it turns out. Didn't think they'd follow us to Tatooine."
"Why'd you pick Tatooine?" Din asked. "It's not exactly... well..." Din had been about to say, "It's not exactly a safe place for foundlings," but Din himself had brought Grogu there twice. He couldn't really judge Paz's decision.
"I was looking for you," said Paz.
That nearly stopped Din in his tracks.
"For me?"
"You weren't there on Navarro," Paz said, "when the Empire came for us. I thought that if anyone was still alive, it'd be you."
Strill knew where I was," Din said. He didn't understand.
"I'd seen her in the desert. If you were looking for me, why didn't you come find me? I've been here for weeks.
Paz was quiet for several steps. Din was more or less dragging him now, walking for both of them. Paz didn't seem to be able to lift his feet up off the ground. His bad leg was dragging between them.
"Strill didn't know that it was you, for sure," Paz finally said.
They were nearing the end of the tunnel now. The light was shifting, shadows fading to gray, and the scent of rain was strong in the air.
"And then she told me that you, whoever you were working for Boba Fett."
"I was," Din said. "I am. He's the one who came to help you, in the green armor off with Shag."
"That's Boba Fett?"
Paz asked, incredulous.
"Yes," said Din, confusion deepening. "Who else would it be?"
"A Mandalorian," said Paz. "One of our people."
"Oh, Boba's not... he's not one of us," said Din. "But he's... this... isn't the best place to talk about this, Paz, but he is Mandalorian."
"He can't be," Paz disagreed.
"He's helping me save your life," Din cut in sharply.
and the lives of your foundlings, distracting the Empire right now so I can drag your sorry shubs to safety. Paz was quiet for a stretch. Din hauled him towards the light, towards the mouth of the tunnel and the smell of rain.
You look to him like he's your Allure, Paz muttered.
His voice was almost lost under the sudden rush of noise that hit them as they cleared the tunnel. Rain had continued to pour while Din had been patching up Paz's wound, and there were other noises clamoring in the air. Sirens, distant shouting, even more distant peals of thunder. The scream of carbon burning through the air. A deep, rattling concussion that sounded like one of Boba's rockets.
That's why I didn't... I thought he had to be one of us, the other Mandalorian.
My... no, said Din, the insight throwing him off balance. He's not my Allure, but he's a friend and an ally, and he's done a lot to help me. I am in his debt. Paz didn't have anything to say to that. Din let him keep his silence this time. He knew the Huntress was close.
He's not my Allure, Din thought.
Din didn't have one anymore, technically, since he'd be formally kicked out of the tribe once Paz spread the news around. But Din would always think of the Armorer, as his tribe leader. He couldn't help it. She'd been the Allure for as long as he could remember, and had taught him just as much about being Mandalorian as Paz or Annika or any of the older warriors. But he is an Allure, and that means he deserves our respect. Boba led his people just like an Allure led a covert. If Din showed Boba deference, it's because he's earned my deference. Paz should understand that. He'd grown up the same way Din had, after all. But something about the way Paz had said Boba's name bothered Din.
It's like he's heard Boba's name before, Din thought. Jaig had, too. He knew who Boba was, who he'd fought in the past.
But Boba has told me that he doesn't have a tribe or a clan. He's alone. It's not like he's part of a covert and his name's been passed around through the network by visiting warriors.
Din shook his head, troubled, and set it aside for now.
He'd have time to worry later, after all. He and Boba still had their argument to look forward to. Death Watch to discuss. Maybe Din could ask him why so many others knew who he was when Din, who'd arguably had the most reason to know of Boba Fett, Din had been Baroya, after all, had never heard of him. He dragged Paz out of the abandoned building that hid the tunnel and went in the direction of the Huntress. The rain was driving down so hard Din could hardly see. It rattled off his armor. Behind him, there was another muted, concussive boom. Din wondered how many rockets Boba had on him. Strill was waiting for Din at the top of the Huntress's slick ramp. The foundlings were nowhere in sight. Din hoped that meant they were stowed safely aboard the ship. When Strill saw him coming, she hurried down the ramp and tucked herself up against Paz's other side. Between them, they were able to drag him up the ramp without anything more than a few slips and muttered curses. "Over here," said Strill, jerking her head down one of the Huntress's small hallways. "I don't keep a med bay or anything on here, it's too small, but we've got a bunk room with a bed, and it's clean enough. Lead the way." Din was grateful for Strill's help. She was able to shift some of the burden off of his back, Paz balanced between them. Din saw a small silver helmet peeking at them from the end of the hall. He relaxed. The kids were safe, at least for now. With some pushing, shoving, and more cursing, Din and Strill managed to get a mostly unconscious Paz wrestled into the bunk, where they left him dripping all over the sheets. "I'll be back," Din said, promising both Strill and Paz. "I'm gonna go collect Boba and Jaig. Strill, you've got the ship?"
"I do," said Strill. She patted the blaster she'd strapped to her hip.
"Give us 10, Din instructed. "Any longer than that, you need to get him and the kids out of here. Go back to the palace. Fennec Shand, Boba Second, will help you get to Mos Pelgo, where you'll be safe for at least a few days."
"I'm not leaving you behind," Strill protested.
She did sound young just then, some of her earlier confidence shaken.
You've
You've helped. You're our brother, too, and Jaig and Darvod. Boba and I can take care of ourselves, said Dan firmly. And between us, we'll take care of Jaig, too. But Paz needs help. I'm not a trained medic, and his infection is bad. And the kids. Fine, said Strill, clearly unhappy. 10 minutes, then. Please don't make me leave you behind. I'll try not to, Din promised her, then went back out into the rain, following the sounds of blaster fire. Din didn't have to look very hard, or for very long. He found Boba and Jaig tucked behind what looked like a recently collapsed wall. Rain had turned the street to mud. Bolts of red light were flying. Din saw a collapsed AT-ST on the ground, one of its legs blown nearly in half, and a building across the street had lost half of one wall and most of a roof. Black smoke billowed up through the rain. Din ducked a blaster bolt and joined Boba, crouching down behind the wall. You've been busy, Din said. The kid's not half bad, Boba replied. Jaig, a DC-15 in each hand, whooped. He wasn't, as far as Din could tell, hitting anything. Most of the enemy fire was coming from cover. Din saw a few blasters and shiny white helmets aimed at him from the smoking building and a few more from a building opposite. There were bodies in the streets, though, so clearly Jaig hadn't missed every shot. The foundlings and Paz are on the Huntress with Strill, Din reported. We should go before reinforcements come. Agreed, Boba rumbled. But there's a problem. He pointed first at the smoking building, then at the other. Din looked closer. The second inhabited building was tall, 9 stories stacked on top of each other, and while most of its windows were blown out and its walls pocked with blaster burns, Din could tell that it had once been an administrative building and maybe a barracks too, the hub of the outpost. The Imperial crest wasn't painted on the side of the building. It was cast in some kind of silvery metal and bolted there. Defensible, Din thought, raising himself up out of his crouch a little to get a better look. A blaster bolt streaked across the street and fizzled out into Din's chestplate. He ignored it. Witnesses, Boba continued. Din looked down at him. I'm recognizable, said Boba. And so are you. He pointed again at the shattered windows of the administration building, at the white helmets in the other. If the Empire hears that we were here... They'll know where to look next, Din said. He bowed his head for a moment, grim, but nodded. Paz has kids with him. Kids. I can't lead the Empire back to them. I'll take the 2 on the left, said Boba, his voice gentler than it had been all day. You've got the right? Din nodded. Stay here, Din told Jaig, who was looking between Din and Boba with his head canted to the side, visibly confused. I can help, Jaig protested. Not with this, Boba rumbled. Do as you're told, kid. Stay here, we'll be quick. Din met Boba's visor and nodded once. He would be quick. Lay down some cover fire if you want to be useful, Boba suggested. Jaren, now! Moving together, Boba and Din rolled out of cover and split. Boba went left towards the smoking building, and Din went right towards the administration building. A few red bolts shrieked past, one just barely grazing the side of Din's helmet, but Jaig enthusiastically obeyed Boba's order, filling the street with blaster fire. Din dropped his shoulder and went in through the door. The wood of it, an ornamental touch instead of a security feature, gave way underneath his weight. Din had his blaster out and firing before he'd even fully straightened up, aiming for the windows. He took in several things at once, time expanding and smoothing out as adrenaline kicked in. There were 3 imps, not 2. One was an officer in faded grays, and the other 2 were stormtroopers. Din took one of the stormtroopers 2 steps past the door, shooting him through the chest. The acrid stink of burning plastoid filled the room. The room was also clearly abandoned. No Imperial presence was based out of here, not anymore. The terminals had all been ripped out, cabinets and cases overturned and ransacked. There were old carbon scars in here, too, and heaps of empty plastoid, piles of gray cloth. The original Imperial occupants had been overrun and their bodies left to rot where they'd fallen. A patrol catching us was just bad luck. That was good. That meant that once this patrol had been wiped out, there wouldn't be anyone left to tell a superior officer that they'd seen a pack of Mandalorians descend on Arcanus. Din ducked a bolt on instinct and fired again. He caught the second stormtrooper in the leg. Another shot took him through the throat and dropped him beside the other one. Just the officer left. Din swung his attention to the remaining Imperial. The man was young, face still pocked with acne, a thin, patchy mustache creasing his upper lip. He was afraid. It doesn't matter, Din thought. He took aim. But the officer took aim, too. Din pulled the trigger, but the kid had pulled his first. Stinging red light caught Din's hand, and he dropped his blaster, swearing. "Dank ferric," Din growled, shaking his hand. His glove was smoking. He went to get his blaster, but had to duck. The officer kept firing. Bolt zinged off Din's armor, diffusing across his chest, his helmet. The noise it made rattled Din's teeth. "Kark this," Din thought. He didn't have time for this. Din abandoned his blaster and crossed the room in three long strides. His body moved on instinct. There wasn't room to draw his spear off his back, and the Imperial kept firing, backed against the wall with nowhere to go. But Din didn't need his spear. He had the darksaber. The Jedi and the Holocron had explained that lightsabers could deflect blaster bolts. Din hadn't had any time to try that out for himself in real combat, and he didn't bother to try it now. He just drew the darksaber from his hip, the hilt made comfortable in his hand by long hours of practice, and ignited it. The Imperial screamed. Din buried the darksaber in his chest a heartbeat later, cutting the scream off. Din hadn't needed to watch Jedi practice to know how to do this. He drove the darksaber up underneath the officer's ribs, using his other hand to swat the blaster aside and shove the officer back against the wall so he couldn't get away. The darksaber hummed in Din's hand. The officer's scream softened into a wet gasp. His hands flailed for purchase and found only the edges of Din's Beskar. The Imperial looked down at the darksaber, then looked up at Din with wide, shocked eyes. "You're..." he started, clutching uselessly at Din's armored wrist. "You're..." And then he choked and died. His hand fell away. Din pushed his body off the blade, then swept the darksaber down into a guard position that his body remembered from its hours of running through the Katas. The training held, Din thought distantly. His body was moving on instinct, following procedures drilled into it from his earliest days in the covert. Din crossed over to the stormtroopers and made sure they were dead, too. He tugged their helmets off roughly. One had a smoking hole in his throat and wide eyes. The other had managed to shut his eyes, but his face was slack, and when Din felt at his neck, there was no pulse. Both of them were older than the dead officer. Satisfied, Din kicked their blasters away, just to be safe, and switched over to thermal imaging to scan the rest of the building. He couldn't see up to the highest levels, but what he could see was clear. Nothing else was alive here. Din kept the darksaber activated anyway, doing a manual check of the room. No one jumped out at him, and the dead men on the floor stayed dead. Convinced, Din let his body bend, collect his fallen blaster, and walk him out into the street, where the driving rain hissed and steamed as it met the darksaber's blade. Boba emerged from the munitions depot, his Gaddafi hanging loosely in his grip. Its brutal club was wet and dark. Boba looked at Din and nodded, confirming his own kills. Din nodded back. They were safe, for now. There was no one left to tell the Empire that Din and Boba had been here. Din finally deactivated the darksaber. "Kid," Din called, voice rough. "Let's go. Strill's kicking off soon. I told her to wait 10 minutes. "What is that?" Zhaig asked, coming up from his crouch behind the crumbled wall. He was staring at the darksaber's hilt in Din's hand. "Some kind of cod? I've never..." "Save it, Verdika," Boba growled. "We need to move. This particular town might be abandoned, but we haven't been very quiet. Arcanus still has its fair share of remnants and remnant supporters."
"It does?" Din said.
Boba had mentioned it down in the tunnels, but Din hadn't had time to parse the thought. He led the others off at a jog, aimed for the Huntress's hiding place. "Parts of it, yeah." Boba had to call to be heard over the rain. Not so much here on the outskirts of things, but in the cities, yeah. The Empire gave Arcanus a lot of power.
Are you... Have they caused you any trouble? Din asked. He hadn't realized that there had been an Imperial outpost so close to Tatooine. Even back in the Empire's day, at the height of their power, they hadn't been well established in much of Rim Space.
Back home? No, Boba said. They're too busy worrying about the New Republic to bother me.
We'll need to update our logs, Jai cut in, sounding unhappy.
We had no idea. We'd have gone somewhere else if we'd known there were imps still living here.
Well, let's hope they don't follow us where we're going, Din said. They rounded the end of the street and skidded past the old building that stood over the tunnels, then around the final corner to the Huntress.
Fantastic, said Strill, who was waiting at the top of the ramp with her blaster drawn again. You're not dead.
We're fine, said Din. His body had mostly started to believe it, anyway, coming down from its frantic battle state. He still had the darksaber hilt in his hand. Din tucked it back into his belt and went up the ramp, Boba and Jaeg right behind him.
Enough action for you, Jaeg? Strill asked. Not nearly, said Jaeg, still enthusiastic despite the rain that had to be soaking him to the skin, despite however many days and nights and weeks he'd spent in terror expecting the Empire to knock his covert in and kill him and everyone around him.
Ah, thought Din wryly. Kids.
Boba made a rough sound behind them all. Enough chatter, he said. Strill, get us off the ground, yeah? The Verdica can fill you in once we're in sublight.
Sure, said Strill easily, relieved now that everyone was back on board the ship.
Jaeg with me, you're on the gunner just in case. Brother and not brother, there's a fresher at the end of the hall if you want to clean up. Kids are in the last room.
How's Paz? Din asked.
Out cold, Strill replied. Probably for the best, the Huntress doesn't really do smooth takeoffs.
Or landings, Boba muttered, so low only Din could hear him.
Din smiled to himself. Strill took Jaeg by the elbow and started to haul him into the cockpit.
How come you let him call you Verdica, but you get mad at me? Strill asked, pulling your brother through the door.
You know who he is, right? Jaeg said, letting himself be tugged along. He can call me whatever he wants. You see that rocket launcher he has? Turned half a building to dust before I could even...
The door hissed shut, cutting Jaeg off.
Din had to push down a chuckle. Boba was looking at the closed door, a confused tilt to his head.
You've impressed him, Din said.
Boba grunted. Kids that age are easy to impress, he muttered. Didn't do anything particularly special.
So those weren't rockets I heard?
That kid's led a deprived life if all it takes to impress him is a rocket launcher.
Din snorted. Strill and Jaeg's covert seemed to have enough Beskar to go around. Both Strill and Jaeg were fully armored, as far as Din could tell. Maybe their parents had kitted them out well, but Din doubted that two young, barely-blooded warriors would be given full Beskar gum before older members of the tribe.
I'm gonna check on Paz, Din said. You good? Didn't take any injuries?
Boba held his arms out for inspection. His armor was beaded with rain, his boots and the bottom edges of his robe smeared with mud, but other than that, he was in good shape. Din didn't see any injuries that jumped out at him. The Huntress began to rattle and moan again, lifting unsteadily into the air. Din and Boba were both expecting it this time, though, so neither of them toppled over.
I'm fine, Boba said, tone gentling again.
You?
Took a bolt to the glove. Din showed Boba the burned leather.
But that's it.
And you're... Vizsla, Boba said. You're good to be alone with him?
He's mostly dead, Boba, Din muttered. There's not much he can do to me.
His injury's that bad?
Din nodded.
Go see him then, said Boba. I'll keep an eye on the kids.
The tall one's name is Kieran, Din said. The littlest is Myrta, and the boy is Took.
The character I need to know their names for, Boba grumbled. Solus, Tad, and En work well enough.
Be nice, Din said firmly. He had no idea what Boba was saying, but wanted to make sure that Boba understood he needed to be gentle with the foundlings, regardless of how Boba felt about other Mandalorians.
These aren't your enemies, even if we are Death Watch, Din wanted to say. They're just kids. They've been through a lot. Boba sighed. Go see your brother, he said. I'm not going to eat the foundlings, you have my word. Din relaxed at that. Boba had always kept his word, after all. I won't be long, Din promised. He smiled to himself. I don't want the foundlings to overrun you. Boba snorted and waved Din away. Din went, feeling a little lighter. Despite their argument on the way to Arcanus, Boba didn't sound quite so angry and betrayed anymore. Maybe he does believe me, Din thought. That I didn't know, that I wouldn't do the things that Death Watch did to his clan. None of Din's covert would. Not even Paz. Paz got angry sometimes, but he wouldn't turn that anger into dishonorable behavior. Paz would fight, but he'd fight the right way. He'd fight with honor. The Death Watch that had murdered Jango Fett's father. They didn't sound like they had any honor. Boba will... He'll come around, Din thought firmly. He'll forgive me. At least for this. Din found Paz where he'd left him. The bunk room was small and cramped. There was really only room for the bed and a desk crammed against the opposite corner. The desk at least had a chair, which Din fished out and dragged over to Paz's side. Despite what Strill had said, Paz wasn't completely unconscious. He was aware enough to tilt his head in Din's direction when Din came in, though he didn't seem to have the strength to do much of anything else. "How are you doing?" Din asked quietly, turning to make sure the door was shut. He didn't need Boba sticking his nose in, or worse, one of the foundlings. He collapsed into the chair at Paz's side. Paz just grunted. "How do I look like I'm doing?" he growled. "Painkillers wearing off, then," Din thought. He looked Paz up and down. Now that Paz was fully armored, it was easy to mark the differences a year had wrought. "He looks... well..." Paz looked like he'd spent a year living outside of the covert, subject to anything and everything the galaxy could throw at him. Down in the covert, Paz had always been... perfect. His armor had been in perfect condition. Any chips or scuffs he'd gotten in spars and training had been immediately buffed out and painted over. His weapons had always been in perfect shape. He'd held himself with the poise and confidence of the perfect Mandalorian warrior, a proud man of the tribe, the heir to Palace's long legacy. It was Paz who'd been charged with keeping the foundlings safe, after all, with training them and looking after them, with keeping threats out of the covert. With keeping us strong. After Din had won the right to be Baroya, Paz had leaned into his own place as protector and teacher and leader even harder. He'd gotten rigid with it, fierce and uncompromising. He'd expected the best of the foundlings and the best of everyone else, too. Din hadn't blamed him for it. Not even as the months Din spent out in the stars had begun to yawn between them, the ground that once stood on his foundling shifting until they'd found themselves on opposite sides of a canyon they couldn't get across, hunter and protector. Din always leaving, Paz always left behind. It had started to chafe at Paz after a while, always staying behind, always stuck. Every time Din had come home with his hands full of credits, Paz had pulled farther away. Din had let him. Din was never in the covert, after all. He'd come and stay for a day or two to lick his wounds and rest, and then he'd go out into the galaxy again, and Paz would stay behind. "Well, brother," Din thought, sweeping his gaze over Paz. "You've been out in the galaxy now." Paz's blue and gray armor, once immaculate, was chipped and battered and scuffed. The paint had faded in other places and had been torn off in great strips in others. Somebody had come at Paz with a slug thrower. There was a dent in his cuirass as big around as Din's fist, and Din winced to see it. Beskar didn't dent easily. Something else had raked its claws across the front of Paz's helmet, leaving four long, shiny scratches in the paint. Din could even pick out where Paz had been knocked off a cliff with a pulse rifle. Pulse rifles didn't leave dents, but the bolt had burned off all of the paint on Paz's right pauldron. Not even Paz's carefully curated pile of heavy weaponry was anywhere to be seen. His cannon, his customized Westars, his jetpack. All of it had disappeared, lost across the trail of planets Paz had run to after Navarro. "You want another hit of Samoxin?" Din asked. "There's more in the field kit. It'll be a few hours yet before we're back on Tatooine." Paz shook his head.
"Rather keep my head clear," Paz said.
"Where are we going?" "A town called Mos Pelgo." Din would need to calm Fennec so Fennec could come ahead to Cop Vanth. Vanth was an easygoing, cheerful sort, but Din had the feeling that dropping 6 Mandalorians, most of them injured, on him would test even Vanth's expansive patience. "Out in the Dune Sea.
Is it safe?"
"Safe enough," said Din. "The townspeople, they're friends, allies. And they've got a Tusken band with them, too. Not too many are stupid enough to cross them."
"Your allies or Boba Fett's?"
Din hesitated.
"Mine first," he said. "I was looking for other Mandalorians, followed rumors to Mos Pelgo and met the town marshal. He'd found
some Beskar in the desert and was using it to protect his people." "He gave it back," Din added, when Paz made a thin, angry sound under his breath. "We fought a crate dragon together. Vanth and me and his people, the Tuskens too. He's a good man. Trustworthy for an Arweti."
"You'd trust him with the kids?"
"I trusted him with mine," Din said. When he thought that he might die bringing down the crate, Din had asked Vanth to look after Grogu and had trusted him to actually do it. The whole town would have pitched in to raise the kid. Paz stirred at that.
"The little green thing? The one the imps wanted?"
Din nodded.
"Grogu," he said. "He's still all right? He's yours."
Paz had always been fond of foundlings. Din smiled. "He's all right," he confirmed. "I found his people. Well, it's a long story, but he's a pretty special kid. He's being trained."
"He's not with you anymore?"
Din shook his head.
"Not right now," he said. "I couldn't teach him, not everything he needed to know. But I found someone who can. We still talk sometimes, me and the kid. Well, I talk, he babbles. I've visited him, too. He's where he needs to be, at least for now."
"Oh," said Paz. Din nudged him gently, careful not to jostle his bad leg. "You'll be safe in Mos Pelgo," Din assured him. "At least for a few days, anyway. Long enough to heal, to maybe get a med droid out to you. Once you're on your feet again, we can, I don't know, find somewhere else to stash you, with the White Bantha, maybe."
"White Bantha? The Tuskens who took your sorry carcass in after you got your shebs kicked by that boar?"
Din scowled at the memory. "I was young," he said defensively. "I didn't know what I was doing. And yes, those Tuskens, they're good people."
"Must have been to put up with you for a year," Paz taunted.
Din narrowed his eyes. "Just because you're injured," he said, "doesn't mean I won't hit you. Anka's not here to yell at me." That took the shine off Paz's Beskar. Din's brother deflated, turning his head sharply away. Guilt prickled at Din immediately. Paz and Anika had always been close, even as kids, before they'd picked each other out as equal partners, as lovers. Din had been the last to join their covert's little band of foundlings. Paz and Anika had had the run of the covert for weeks before Din had been gently set on the ground by his rescuer and told to join the other kids. Paz started to say, then stopped. He swallowed, his throat clicking over his vocoder. "Have you been back to Navarro since you and your kid got away?" Slowly, Din nodded.
"So you know what happened," said Paz. His voice was flat. "You know who came for us?"
"I do," Din said. "I saw. We were We went back to clear my business with the guild. Grief Karga, you know him?
I shot him, I thought, said Paz.
Din shrugged. If you did, it didn't stick. He called me back, offered me a clean slate with the guild if I helped him get rid of the Empire. I thought... I agreed, because it would get the guild hunters off my back. We went. We fought. It didn't go very well. We ended up outnumbered and outgunned and tried to escape through the tunnels. That's when I saw what happened. That mountain of helmets of familiar faces would haunt Din for the rest of his life.
How'd you get out?
The Allure helped us, Din said. Paz sucked in a sharp breath.
She's alive?
She was alive last I saw, tending to the dead, building a pyre. I wanted to help, but I couldn't stay. We were still being hunted, me and the kid. More the kid than me, I guess, but... She was alive then, and it's hard to imagine anything that could kill her.
Did you...
Paz started again, then stopped. His hands were curled into fists again.
Did you see any of Annika's armor in the funeral pyre?
Dane shook his head.
I didn't, he said.
Annika had worn red armor. Din didn't remember seeing it underneath Navarra City. But I didn't look, either. I'd been injured, fighting the imps. I was focused on the kid. Paz leaned back against the bunk.
No one I've talked to has heard whether or not she made it out, he said softly.
We split up. I took the kids nearest to me, she took the ones closest to her, and we went separate ways.
I don't know.
Tamsin, Strill, and Jag's Allure on Megiddo. Hadn't heard anything. Up until you walked into that room down there, Din let Paz take a minute, his heart twisting in his chest.
It's my fault, Din thought again.
He closed his eyes, remembering the others. He hadn't let himself think of their names, hadn't wanted to remember the colors of their armor or the designs painted on their helmets. Den and Rina, who'd come up a few years behind Din and Paz and Annika. Tosho, an older boy who taught Din how to throw a knife. Wiran, the oldest warrior still among them, aside from the Allure, who'd guided all of the foundlings through all their lessons with firm, gentle hands.
It's my fault.
He thought of Annika, laughing as she jumped from the branches of a Roshir tree, the cadence of the Allure's voice as she gave counsel in the light of the forge. Paz and Den and Tosho all singing together, warming the air after a meal. The hallways and tunnels of the covert, all of the coverts, every place Din had ever lived with his people, full of foundlings. He thought of the solid strength of the tribe, the feeling of safety, brothers and sisters pressed in around a cook fire, banded together like clean layers of forged Beskar.
I'm sorry, Din said roughly. Grief clawed at him.
It's my fault. I brought the imps down on us. If I'd waited to get the kid back, if I'd taken the time to plan something out instead of barging in...
We would still be alive, Paz agreed.
Din flinched. His hand curled into loose fists.
We'd still be on Navarro.
But what would have happened to your kid?
What? Din didn't understand.
Your kid, Paz said. What would have happened to him? If you'd waited, or if you hadn't gone back for him at all. Din thought of that cold, grim little laboratory, Pershing taking Grogu away, the stark certainty that had jolted through Din when he'd gone by the Imperial hideout again and had seen Grogu's carrier broken, tossed out with the rest of the trash.
I was angry, Paz continued.
Really angry. I'm still angry. I miss Annika. I want my people back. But my kids, said Paz. He said it fiercely, proprietorially. He didn't say, the kids of the tribe. He said, my kids, like he'd already decided to adopt them.
Maybe he did, Din thought. Paz had been with them for a year. He was within his right to adopt them. He'd been the one caring for them, protecting them, keeping them fed and warm. Like I did for Grogu. All of that time out in the black with the kid, all of that grief and fear, and all of that joy, too, that happiness that had struck Din behind the knees and brought him down the first time he'd heard Grogu laugh on Sorgan, the first time Grogu had curled up on Din's chest to take a nap, the first time the kid had dragged Din away from the controls of the Razor Crest to show him a lopsided tower cobbled together out of spare tools. All of that made him my kid, Din thought. It made me his father. Even if I never said it out loud. We were a clan of two. Are a clan of two. Grogu's mine, not Skywalker's. He's mine, and I wouldn't change what I did. I'd still go back and get him. My kids, said Paz. He shook his head. There's a lot I'd do for those kids. You're my brother, but if it was your life or the lives of my foundlings, I'd choose to take on the imps too, and damn what happened next. Din sat there for a minute, trying to parse his feelings. He swallowed. It wasn't forgiveness, what Paz had just offered. He was still angry with Din. Still right to be angry with Din. This had all been Din's fault. But he understands. And I want him to. I want him to understand all of it. What happened on Nevarro? It's not the only thing I'm sorry for, Din said. He was too tired to be terrified, but a slow pulse of fear went through him anyway. But there wouldn't be a better time to tell Paz. There wouldn't, not with Paz's mind on the things he'd do for his kids. Din, said Paz warily, what are you? Din didn't let him finish. He reached up, released the seals, and tugged his helmet off in one rough motion, afraid he'd lose his nerve halfway through. Paz sucked in a breath. Din set his helmet in his lap, carefully, and looked down at his reflection. He wondered how different he looked to Paz. Din had worn a helmet since he was a child. Paz had only ever seen Din as a round-faced, wide-eyed kid fresh off the battlefield. I don't even recognize myself, not really. Din had known his own face, of course, but some stubble had grown in since he'd splashed around with Boba beneath the palace, but most of Din's jaw was still visible. Some things were the same as they'd been the last time Din had looked at himself in the mirror on the crest. The tiny scar between Din's eyes, the bare places where his beard had never grown in, the lines on his face. But I'm not the same. Paz hadn't seen Din's face since they were kids. Newfoundlings, waiting for someone to sponsor them. He'd never known what Din had looked like as an adult, just like Din had no idea what Paz's face looked like, if he'd lost his baby fat, if he'd grown into his ears, if his hair had turned white like an adult Pantoran's did, or if it had stayed sandy brown. Paz was utterly silent. I broke the creed, Din said. He stared down at his helmet. He didn't trust himself to say anything more. Who took it off? Paz demanded. His voice was strained. Was it Fett? Did you kill them? Are you avenged? Din screwed his eyes shut. Paz, he said. I took it off. Boba, he'd never, he wouldn't. He's an honorable man. You took it? Why? Paz said. His voice had risen. You're Darmanda! The word cut like a slap across the face. Din flinched again, even though he knew he shouldn't. It wasn't news that he wasn't Mandalorian anymore.
Din had known that for weeks now. He'd known that since Morak.
Yes, Din agreed. I am. I had to.
To save your life? Paz growled. Better to die than to be...
Din lifted his head at that.
Something that might have been anger rolled through him, distant and echoing, but growing louder like a crate dragon approaching from the other side of a canyon.
Not my life, said Din. I broke the creed to save my sons.
That shocked Paz into silence again. Din took a steadying breath. Paz hadn't reached for his blaster yet, which Din had decided to take as a tentatively good sign, and pressed on.
The kid was taken from me, Din said. The imps were still hunting us, too. They stole him from me on Tython. I found a way to get him back, but we needed to break into an Imperial base, and I was the only one who had a face the Empire wouldn't recognize.
Your son, said Paz.
I told you, said Din, setting his jaw stubbornly, despite the prickling burn behind his eyes. The kid, he's mine. And he's safe now. And we took down the imps who were hunting us. It was a victory.
How is that a victory? Paz demanded. His fingers twitched like he wanted to reach for Din's throat. You showed your face to do it. You lost...
Everything, Paz might have been about to say. Din might have even believed it, weeks or months ago. To break the creed, to become Darmanda, it was worse than death. A dead warrior's spirit would be honored. A dead warrior would join all of the other warriors who died before him. But someone who was Darmanda couldn't.
But I didn't lose everything.
Grogu was alive. Din's friends and allies were alive, too. Din himself was alive.
I lost the right to call myself a Mandalorian, said Din, fiercely, something hot and heavy lodged in his throat at the hinge of his jaw. But I saved my son. That's worth it. To me, it's worth it. The creed...
Din made himself stop talking. He didn't know how to say what he felt, what had been prowling in the dark corners of his heart, his thoughts, for days now, what was perched underneath his jaw, threatening to spill out. The creed is not a living thing, Din thought. Grogu is. It was the creed or his life. It was no choice, Din said. The creed wasn't worth his life.
My life, maybe.
Yes, my life.
Din had been willing to die in Navarro.
But what if I had died there? A small, quarrelsome voice hissed between Din's ears. What if I died? What would have happened to Grogu, to Kara, to everyone we've met since we left?
Din pushed that thought away. He didn't have time for it.
I know what this means, Din said. I wasn't tricked or trapped or forced to take it off.
Not that it would have mattered. Keeping to the creed meant keeping the strength needed to protect oneself from Aruatise. A Mandalorian who couldn't keep an enemy from removing their helmet was no true Mandalorian at all.
You shouldn't even be here, Paz said.
Din looked at him.
Why did you come help us? Paz demanded. You're Darmanda. The tribe isn't your responsibility. You're dead.
I'm not dead, Din said tiredly. And you are still my brother, Paz. Even though I'm Darmanda, I wanted to help. I could help. I have a duty to help, even if the tribe is close to me.
Paz would tell Strill and Zhaig and the Foundlings. He'd tell Annika if Annika was alive and Paz managed to find her again. He'd tell the Allure. He'd tell anyone who followed the creed, and all of them would know that if they saw Din again, they could and should shun him. Would shun him if they didn't try and kill him to spare him any more suffering.
You've dishonored me, Paz said. You should have left me. I can't accept your help.
Din sighed. He stood.
He was reminded, oddly, of growling the same words at Boba weeks ago over the payment Boba tried to foist off on him for bringing in Jalto. "You dishonor me." "Yes," he said. "I did. But what if I hadn't come, Paz?" "I would have..." "You still might die," said Din bluntly. He pointed at Paz's bad leg. "That injury, if I can convince Bo-Katan to lend me her med droid, it might help you walk again. The people of Mos Pelgo might have enough medicine to burn out your infection. But you might still die. And if I hadn't come, if Stirl hadn't found me, you'd be dead in days. You'd..." Din stopped, shook his head. "We're not in the covert anymore," Din said, lowly. "Things were simple there, but out here, no." Keeping the creed, even if it meant death, it had never been easy, but it had been easier in the covert. Surrounded by others who had sworn the same creed, who understood the galaxy in the same way that Din did. But out in the galaxy, away from all of that, there were people who depended on Din. People who needed him, who he couldn't protect if he died. "You... no," said Din, slashing a hand through the air. "No. I'm not going to apologize for saving your carking life. If you feel dishonored, petition the Allure next time you see her. See if she'll absolve me. Blame me. But I'm not sorry. Not for coming to help, and not for breaking the creed." Din's voice had risen louder than he'd wanted it to. He forced himself to calm down. He didn't want to frighten the kids, to put Strail and Jag's backs up. They'd all been through enough today. "I'm not sorry," Din repeated fiercely. The depth of the feeling shocked him. I don't need you to understand or to accept it," said Din. "And I don't need you to tell me that I'm Darmanda. I know. Of course I know. But I'm not sorry." Paz was silent. His hands were still curled into fists. Din blew out a breath. If you don't want me here anymore, I won't be," Din said. "You don't have to talk to me again if you don't want to, if you think it dishonors you. I'll stay away from you, from the Foundlings, from Strill and Jag. But at least let me help you, Paz. Dying for your pride when you've got kids who need you, it's..." "Don't," Paz cut in, quieter now. "I don't. Don't frame this like I'm doing the kids a favor by talking to you, by accepting help from someone who's Darmanda. The strength of the tribe is in its warriors. You were a warrior. And you've broken. That puts us all in danger. I can't..." "Think of what will happen to them if you die," Din said. It wasn't fair. He knew it wasn't. It was a low blow, a cowardly blow, but... "The galaxy isn't fair," Din thought. "And I can be cowardly now. I'm Darmanda. I can be whoever I want to be." "Strail and Jag are good fighters," Din said, "but you know them better than I do. Can they keep themselves alive without you leading them? Can they keep the kids alive?" "Don't," Paz snarled. "Don't talk about them like you care about them." "Of course I care about them," Din snarled right back. The distant, roaring anger wasn't so distant now. It was alive in Din's chest, in his fingertips. It burned in his throat. "I broke the creed. That doesn't mean I stopped caring about whether you lived or died. That doesn't mean I want a bunch of foundlings to die." "You can't care about us," Paz argued, though he sounded a little less sure than he had before. "The creed..." "I can't be one of you," Din said. "But that doesn't mean I can't care about you, that I can't help." Din knew that now. Ahsoka Tano hadn't been Mandalorian, but she'd helped Din and Grogu find Skywalker. Skywalker wasn't Mandalorian, but he'd taken Grogu in with open arms, had let Din stay a part of Grogu's life. Krees and Fett, Reeves and Woves, they were Mandalorians. They didn't follow the creed, but that didn't mean that they hated Din, that they couldn't accept his help when it was offered. Din took a steadying breath and stood up. His legs trembled, but he didn't fall. "Paz," he said. The way we grew up, our way, it's not the only way of the Mandalore." Paz recoiled. "Yes, it is," he said. Din shook his head. "It isn't," said Din. "I've met other Mandalorians, some of them even from Mandalore. They keep different creeds. They're not our people, but they're not our enemies either. They have honor. They help. The way we grew up..." Paz, Din wanted to say, but couldn't. "Paz, I think there was something wrong with the way we grew up." Din didn't have any other explanation. He kept tripping up on the desolation in Boba's voice as he'd named Din part of Death Watch. About Kreese and the way she'd called Din an extremist. About the hiding, the secrecy, the skulking from one planet to another, always hunted. "I need to talk to Boba." Din tucked his helmet under his arm. "I am not Mandalorian anymore," Din said, voice steady. "I knew what I was swearing to when I took the creed. I knew what I was breaking when I chose to take my helmet off. I know. And that's on me. That's something that I will have to live with. I am living with it." "But, Paz, Nervod," Din said, the shape of the words unfamiliar, even though the feeling behind them was true and familiar, decades old. "It's not your responsibility."
"Get out," Paz snarled. "Arweti, get out."
Din took that standing up. He tried not to flinch, to show his hurt, but he knew he still wasn't very good at hiding his expressions. But he nodded. "Fine," he said. "It's 4 hours to Tatooine. Think about what I said. You dying for your pride. It's not worth it, and you know it." Then Din turned and left, before Paz could snarl anything else at him, before Paz could decide to drop his pretenses and go for Din with a blaster. Din shut the door behind him, face still bare, shoulder shaking, and turned towards the cargo bay. "I don't want to scare the kids," he thought. "Those kids, they'd been through enough. They deserve to feel safe here, or at least as safe as they could feel." The cargo bay was empty when Din came back into it, and that relief did finally take him down, had him leaning against the nearest wall and sliding to the floor, still trembling. His helmet was in his hands, staring up at him with its impassive face. "I shouldn't ever have put it back on again," Din thought. "I should pitch it out an airlock. I shouldn't be wearing any of this." His armor, his signet, the Beskar spear strapped across his back, the darksaber at his hip. They were Mandalorian weapons, Mandalorian armor, and Din was not a Mandalorian. He hadn't been for weeks now. But he didn't get up and tear his armor off. He didn't throw his helmet against the opposite wall. He didn't shed the spear or the darksaber or his jetpack. "Why can't I do it?" he wondered. Why do I feel like it's still mine?" Din had assumed that it was weakness all those weeks ago when he'd first armored back up on the light cruiser. He had assumed that it was a sign that Din had been weak all along, his conviction rusted out like bad steel. "But I don't feel weak." Going to help Paz, even if contact with Din dishonored him, wasn't weakness. Din couldn't believe that it was weakness. Helping a brother in need, even though Din couldn't really be Paz's brother anymore, was honorable. It was good. It was the creed. The creed demanded that one Mandalorian help another. "Why does breaking part of the creed mean that I have to break all of it?" Din thought. It stuck in his throat like sand, sharp and stinging. "I took my helmet off. I keep taking it off. I show my face all the time now. But why does that mean that I should have let Paz die when Strill came to ask me for help? It didn't make sense, and...
You look like you're thinking hard, Boba said, emerging from the hall.
Din looked up at him. He tried to smile, but couldn't manage it.
I am, Din admitted. Not good thoughts either, Boba observed.
Instead of going to sit opposite Din like they had on the flight over, he came to Din's side and slid down to sit beside him. They weren't touching, not like this, but they were near enough together that Din could feel Boba's body, his warmth. Din tried not to lean towards him.
No, he said, not good thoughts.
Boba was quiet for a minute.
Would it help, he started slowly, if I said that I think you should stick your people in the palace for a few days, not Mos Pelgo?
Din startled at that. The palace, but you
don't really want them there, no, said Boba.
But the kids, they're hurt too. And if your brother's injury is as serious as you say, Mos Pelgo's not the best place for him. Vanth doesn't have a medic.
Do you? Din asked.
He knew that Boba had an infirmary. Geeta had gone there after the explosion on the road between the palace and Mos Eisley.
No, I don't have a medic, Boba grunted. I have Ushib. She's a Geeta, and a good one.
Din hesitated. Tusken Jidat, the grandmothers, the women who had lived long enough to learn the properties of desert herbs to help with childbirth, with old age, with fever and sickness, and the wounds that a hunter could earn, broken bones and cut palms, a gore from a blade back, a bite from a crate, were good healers. Din owed his life to one.
So does Boba, Din realized.
It must have been Ajita, Ushib even, who'd found Boba after he'd clawed his way free from the Sarlacc. Din had seen Boba's scars. He'd seen all of Boba's scars. Ushib had had a fight on her hands, keeping him alive. And she had helped Fennec, too. Din had thought Fennec dead. The prosthetics in her stomach. Jidat knew how to rig prosthetics, too. They'd lived long enough to scavenge technology from other people, to cobble together strategies and information from other tribes. Tusken prosthetics were rough. Unpolished. Nothing like a being could find in the core or even in the mid-rim. But Tusken prosthetics usually work, Din thought. Tusken medicine, as unpleasant and foul-smelling as it usually was designed to work. There was very little room in the desert for things that didn't work. There was no room for error.
You'd lend us Ushib? Din asked, hesitant.
Paz is very traditional. More than me, even. He isn't Death Watch, not the kind you're thinking of, but he's hard. Inflexible.
He's important to you, said Boba. His voice was very soft.
And if he dies, what happens to those kids?
Strill and Jaig would take care of them, Din said, but his heart was sinking.
Strill and Jaig were barely more than children themselves. Blooded warriors, maybe, but still kids. He'd made the same argument to Paz himself a few minutes ago.
If all they've got are the Verdike, those kids will be dead within a year.
Strill and Jaig are good fighters, Din said, trying to muster up the energy to be defensive.
I didn't say they weren't, Boba returned. But they're young, and they don't know what they're doing. Picking Arcanus, of all places. It would have been safer to wander out into the Karking Dune Sea.
Din winced.
I'm a mean old son of a Skog Jaren, Boba said, very serious. But that doesn't mean I want to see a bunch of kids die.
Even kids that might be Death Watch.
Boba froze.
Din winced. He hadn't meant to say it so baldly, but Din didn't understand. He couldn't tell what Boba was thinking or feeling, how he was processing all of this information.
They're still just kids, Boba said finally.
And you care about them, don't you?
That, at least, was a simple answer.
Din nodded.
I do, he said. I don't know them that well, any of them. My job was to go out and hunt, to earn credit so we could keep the kids fed, but they're still my tribe. I'm angry, Bubba finally said. His voice was tight with it. But that doesn't mean I want to hurt you. Din looked at him sideways. You've been happy with me and you've wanted to hurt me, he said. His back tingled, remembering the strength of Boba's blows, the bruises Boba had worked into his skin. That's different, said Boba. How? You can stop it, for one thing. Boba's tone was wry. If we were up in my rooms, you could make me stop. But if I don't help you, and those kids die, that's not a pain you can get out of. And, Boba added, when Din frowned and looked away, not sure he understood, that's not a punishment you deserve, or one those kids have earned. If you're all Death Watch, well, we're already going to have it out later, but none of those kids can be older than, what, 13? Din shrugged, he wasn't sure. They're just kids, said Boba, and they've been through it. They're not my enemies, and acting like they are isn't right, isn't honorable. Isn't the way, Din murmured, thinking. Boba snorted. I told you, he said. I don't follow your creed. My actions are my own. But you'll help. You'll have Ushib see if she can help Paz. You'll protect them. For a few days, at least, Boba confirmed. If they want, anyway. Gorga's still after us, Jaren. I calmed Fennec. She doesn't think Gorga's going to make a move in the next few days, but there's a risk. There's always a risk, Din said. His hands were shaking, relief and gratitude tangled up in his chest. Mandalorians are always at risk. Boba grunted. True, he muttered. But still. A few days. Yeah, they can stay for a few days. We can send them to Vanth after. We? Din asked. Boba shot him a quelling look. Din held up his hands, unwilling to push Boba any further. Thank you, he said genuinely. I don't know if Paz will appreciate it, but I do. Boba grunted again, then cleared his throat. You said that you were with me. Din nodded. I am, he said. Boba looked at him then, really looked at him, and Din could feel the weight of his gaze even though Boba still had his helmet on. That goes both ways for me, said Boba. If you're with me, then I'm with you. Even if I don't understand how you can be Death Watch. You've shown me nothing but loyalty. I would be wrong to turn my back on that, to keep back the loyalty you've earned. If I don't help you, maybe my father wouldn't have, Boba said. Din winced. But my father's father would have helped you, Boba continued. He would have thought it his duty. He sounds like a good man, Din murmured. He sounds like a true Mandalorian, like someone Din would be happy to follow. But Death Watch, my people, maybe, killed him. I never knew him, Boba said. His voice had evened out some, had steadied. He'd been dead for years by the time I was old enough to learn about him, but yes, he was a good man. A good legacy to follow. Boba didn't say it, but Din heard it anyway. I think, Din thought to himself, staring down at the helmet in his hands, that I should ask Boba what happened to his father and to his father's father. What really happened when we talk about all of this after Paz is settled. Thank you, Din repeated. It felt like the only thing he could say. Boba hummed. The sound, familiar now in the same way that most of Boba was familiar, the way Din knew the strength in his hands and the patterns he used when he was fighting, the way he knew the rumble of Boba's voice against his chest or Boba's presence at his side, made Din smile tiredly. Boba caught it and knocked his knee against Din's. We've still got a few hours in sublight, Jerrica, he murmured. Din had to close his eyes against the endearment. Worry about whatever it is you're worried about later. Rest. You've still got to haul that brother of yours off this rust bucket. Din groaned. He won't be happy. Boba just shrugged. You've got a full field, kid, don't you? Just stick him with some immobilin. What's the worst that could happen? I'm not drugging, Din started, but he let himself be drawn into a mild argument anyway. He saw what Boba was trying to do. Both he and Din knew that they'd fight once they'd made it back to the palace. It circled them both like a predator. But Boba was trying to bleed off some of the tension, to let Din rest, to drop his guard a little, and even though he knew what Boba was doing, Din let him do it anyway. They squabbled for a bit over whether or not to drug Paz, and then drifted into a more serious discussion about logistics. Boba had already calmed Fennec and asked for Ushib, who was still in the Dune Sea, but Din would need to reach out to Vanth at some point and ask if Mos Pelgo would quarter 6 Mandalorians for a while. They'd need to up their patrols in Mos Eisley and the surrounding desert, too, and tighten Boba's grip on Bestine and Mos Espa. Gorga would make his move eventually, but if Boba could anchor himself well enough, maybe they could at least get some warning before Gorga came crashing through Boba's front door. The Huntress continued her wobbly path through sublight. Din tucked his helmet back on during his conversation with Boba, not wanting to startle the kids or Zhaig, who stuck his head out of the cockpit at one point to announce cheerfully that they were about to enter Tatooine's atmosphere. Neither Din nor Boba needed to be told to buckle in this time. Boba gave Zhaig the right coordinates for the palace. Strill stuck her head out too after she'd heard them, plainly confused. "I thought we were going to some village somewhere," she said. "Change of plans," Boba returned, enough authority in his voice that Strill didn't argue. "It'll be safer behind my walls, at least for a little while, and I've got access to a medic." "You should tell Paz, too," Din added, looking at Zhaig. He hadn't noticed, down in the tunnels or in the rain, between everything else that had been going on, but where Strill's armor was accented with stripes of gold, Zhaig's had splashes of dark blue. He's expecting to go somewhere else. "A real medic?" Strill asked. Din coughed. Boba sighed. "A Tusken medic," said Boba. "She knows what she's doing. More than I do, anyway." "More than I do, too," Din put in. He tilted his head down the hall, where he hoped the foundlings were still sleeping. "And Tusken Jidat, they look after their kids, too. Ushib can check the kids, make sure they're all right, take a look at Took's arm." "Sold?" said Strill, retreating back into the pilot seat. "Zhaig, you got the old man?" Zhaig nodded and loped down the hall, apparently unbothered by the Huntress's ominous rattling as she began her descent through Tatooine's atmosphere. "Kark," Boba hissed at one point. "I'm having this thing condemned for scrap." They landed all right, though, the Huntress touching down with only a slight wobble on the landing pad. Fennec was waiting for them when they disembarked. Din let Zhaig heft Paz up and get him down the ramp. Din wasn't sure that Paz would accept his help, not anymore. Strill herded the children off, and Din and Boba took up the rear. Fennec flashed Boba a speaking look. "I've got a few rooms set up in the back wing," Fennec said, pitching her voice so that all of them could hear her. "It used to be the slaves' quarters, but we don't keep slaves here. They're isolated from the rest of our guests, and I'll get you codes for the doors. No one will bother you." "Ushib?" Boba asked. "On her way," Fennec confirmed. "She was with Ashak in the dunes. She's got about a day's ride, but she'll be here tomorrow." Din swore to himself quietly. "Here," he said, tossing his field kit at Strill. "There's more Bacta in there. More antiseptic, too. I'll get you more, for the kids." "I'll get them settled," Boba cut in. Din and Fennec both looked at him in surprise. Boba was watching Din. "He noticed that I'm not going with them," Din thought. "He's realized that something's wrong." Strill nodded. "Come on, kids," she said, collecting the foundlings like a vine tiger organizing her cubs. "Follow Dervod. Jaren, will you come later?" "I'll try," he hedged. "Boba and I have some business still." Fennec's eyebrows climbed even higher. "Eat first," Boba instructed, shifting so that he was in front of the group, Zhaig and Paz and Strill and the kids arranged behind him. "I'll meet you up there." his rooms. Din nodded. He wasn't hungry, was nauseous, in fact, a headache pounding at the base of his temples, but he'd at least pretend to obey. I'll get him something to eat, Fennec said, in a tone that she would ask more questions than she'd heap helpings of Yasta or Chuba stew onto Din's plate. Come find me before your business up top. I've got some updates for you. Boba nodded, then led the other Mandalorians away. Din watched them go, apprehensive. Fennec didn't let him dwell. Eventful day? She asked. Din had left to sunlight and had returned to the thin blue light of the moons. The palace was almost unnaturally quiet. It reminded Din of his first days here, of the ragged outfit Boba had inherited, the skeleton crew.
You could say that, Din muttered.
What's up between you and the boss?
Of course she noticed.
It's between us, Din hedged.
Is it bad?
It's probably not good, Din admitted.
Is it personal or business?
Does it matter? Fennec glared at Din.
If it's business, I have to get involved, she said. If it's personal, you two can punch it out and I can get on with my night.
It's personal, Din muttered. He thought for a second. Is punching it out an option with Boba? Would he rather do that than talk it out?
That, said Fennec deliberately, is none of my business. You'll have to ask Boba.
Great. Fennec elbowed him. Let's get you something to eat first, she said. Sounds like Boba thinks it's going to be a long night.
I'm not sure I can eat, said Din.
Tough, said Fennec. We can just do bread if you can't choke down anything else. Or a Nutrishake. I've got plenty of those.
Din made a face. Nutrishakes tasted like dust.
Bread, then, Din said, realizing he wouldn't win this argument. To his surprise, Fennec didn't steer him into the throne room. Instead, she guided him through the back halls, then into the first lift up through Jabba's old tower.
There's food in Boba's rooms already, she explained.
She didn't leave Din on his own, which Din supposed he understood. Fennec took her duty seriously. They finished the trip up to the top of Boba's tower in silence. There was food, arranged on Boba's work table, most of it cold, cover dishes like flat Jaipur bread with honey, bantha yogurt, a plate of tamur. Din, knowing by now that Fennec wouldn't leave until he'd eaten something, took off his helmet again and picked up a piece of plain Jaipur bread, methodically ripping it into pieces. The flavor was mild enough that Din could force it down, pausing to clean the taste out with water whenever his stomach threatened to rebel, and by the last few pieces he was even able to dip the bread in some of the honey and the bantha yogurt. Fennec waited until he'd finished, then nodded, satisfied.
You said something about those friends of yours needing more supplies.
Din nodded. Vizsla, the one in blue and gray armor, he's hurt badly. He'll need antibiotics, some Bacta, probably some painkillers, too.
Easy enough, said Fennec. Anything else?
Din shook his head.
How's Geeta?
So much had happened in the last few days, Din could hardly keep track of it all. Just this morning, he'd woken up in Boba's bed, in his arms. That felt like it had happened years ago. If Din let himself, he could still feel the faint burn of Boba moving inside him, the heat of his cock, the bruising strength of his hands.
Much recovered and back home with her family, Fennec said. We've posted guards at her place in the quarter.
Any other trouble? Fennec shook her head.
It's been quiet today, she said. I've heard some rumors that Gorga's hiring on Nal Hutta, but he hasn't made a move yet.
That's good, Din said. Fennec hummed.
I'll go make sure your people are taken care of, she said. You should rest a little while you can.
Or drink, take the edge off. You look like you're about to keel over.
Thanks, Fennec, Din said, rolling his eyes.
She threw him a little salute, smiling slightly, and left him alone. Her smile hadn't reached her eyes, but Din was too tired to parse what that meant. She was probably just upset that Din and Boba had blurred the lines between their relationship so badly. That they'd made it, at least a little, Fennec's problem. Din didn't rest. He didn't drink, either. He didn't even put his helmet back on. He just sat, sore and tired, thoughts whirling, and waited for Boba.
Boba didn't make him wait very long. He came through the lift a handful of minutes later, his helmet already off and tucked under his arm. He looked just as tired as Din felt. Maybe we won't have an argument after all, Din thought, though he wasn't holding out much hope. Maybe we can just pretend that this never happened. That felt like a coward's way out, though. Neither Din nor Boba were cowards. Got your people settled, more or less, Boba grunted, crossing the room. You eat something? Din nodded. Fennec will vouch for it, he said. Boba just grunted again. He tossed his helmet onto the bed, where it bounced a little, then started shedding his armor with practiced ease. Din didn't get up to do the same. He knew it was childish, ridiculous, but he felt safer in his armor, more prepared to have an unpleasant conversation. If he stripped that away, he... I don't know what's left, Din thought. Just me, I guess. It would be just Din himself, pale and vulnerable. He didn't want to face Boba like that. He didn't want to face Boba at all, not with Paz's anger still ringing in his head, but he definitely didn't want to do it unarmored. He did push his helmet away, though. He unclipped his spear and left it leaning against the table. He thought about taking off his jetpack, but that would mean taking off his cloak, undoing the straps of his cuirass, and that felt too vulnerable. Din put his hands in his lap and looked at Boba. Boba looked back. So, Din said, not sure where to start. Death Watch? He hadn't meant to phrase it as a question, but it was one. Din didn't really know what Death Watch was. You're probably not Death Watch, Boba finally admitted. He tossed bits and pieces of his armor onto his bed after his helmet. You do have your honor, Din. You've kept your word with me. Death Watch, the Death Watch I knew, lied when it suited them. You don't. I try not to, Din said. His heart picked up again, fear coiling in his belly. But I haven't always been honest. Boba stared at him. His expression was unreadable. Does this, said Boba, after a long moment of uncomfortable silence, have anything to do with the fact that Vizsla's down in my palace mumbling about how if he sees you again he'll kill you? Din's stomach twisted up even tighter at that, but he'd expected Paz to be unhappy. Din nodded. It does, he said. He steeled himself, straightened his back, sat as tall as he could. Din was a warrior. He could take this, take whatever happened next, like a warrior, too. I'm Darmanda, Din said. Boba kept staring. Din took a shallow breath and pressed on, wanting to get it all out. I should have told you, Din said. I'm sorry. I know I should have said something. I've been Darmanda since Morak. I've had weeks to tell you, but I just couldn't. You're... Wait, said Boba, voice strained. He held up a hand. Start over. You're Darmanda. Din nodded. I broke the creed, he explained. I showed my face on Morak. Well, and I've lost count, but dozens of times since then. What? The creed, Din said, a little less sure now. That I swore to follow when I took the name Mandalorian. I know there are different creeds now, he tried to explain. But the one I swore, we don't show our faces. Not to outsiders, not to other Mandalorians, not to each other. It's Oridush. Evil? Boba said, sounding startled. Din blinked. Evil? No, just not permitted. Forbidden. Din, said Boba. Oridush doesn't mean forbidden. It means something that's evil. Oh. Din blinked again, unsteady. I guess it means the same thing in the end. I wasn't ever supposed to take my helmet off, not in front of another living thing, but I did. I had to get the information we needed, but I did it. If you had to do it, then you haven't broken your creed, said Boba. He just looked confused, now brow furrowed. It was for your kid, right? I thought Mayfeld... There was an officer Mayfeld knew in the mess, Din explained. He couldn't show his face, but I'm... No one has seen my face since I was a child. I'm not... Well, I wasn't on any Imperial or New Republic databases, and the terminal needed to scan a face to allow access to the fleet data and Gideon's location, so... So I broke the creed. But that's... That was for your kid, Boba said. You're not Darmanda, you were just looking out for your son. I was, Din agreed, but I am Darmanda, I mean. There's... I don't know how other creeds are, Din admitted. But ours is firm, straightforward. I showed my face. It doesn't matter why I did it, that was enough to break it. And you can't fix it? Atone somehow? Repent? Boba's voice was climbing in volume. Din stared at Boba, incredulous. It's not something you can fix, he said. It should be, Boba insisted. His anger was rising along with his voice, and Din realized that Boba wasn't angry at Din. He was angry at something else. What kind of creed? If you hadn't taken your helmet off on Morak, what would have happened? Mayfeld and I probably would have been caught, Din said, bristling. He knew why he'd taken his helmet off. He'd been there, not Boba. Din was still there in that mess hall in part of his mind, standing in front of the scanner, listening to Valen Hess call for his attention. Din would probably be there for the rest of his life, caught on that edge, teetering between his creed and his son. You would have been killed, said Boba. Killed? No, we would have been... Well, they would have killed us eventually, Din admitted. The remnants didn't really have the means to keep long-term prisoners anymore. But not right away. We would have been interrogated. There would have been time to escape or get help. Boba stared at him. You would have been killed, he repeated. Fennec and I, your friend Dune, we wouldn't have been able to get in to get you out. You would have died, and then your kid. Something cold settled in Din's belly. Grogu would have... No, he couldn't even think it. He wouldn't think it. The Jedi would have gotten Grogu out, Din said roughly. Skywalker, he was already on his way when we took the light cruiser. We would have died anyway if he hadn't come. The Dark Troopers would have killed us and taken Grogu back. Skywalker didn't need our help, not really. The kid would have been fine. Din knew that now, even if he'd had no way of knowing that Skywalker had been on his way on Morak. You did it to save your son, Boba said. That's not wrong. No, Din agreed. He didn't regret it, taking his helmet off on Morak. He'd told Paz the same thing. Even if Skywalker would have saved the kid, Din didn't regret going after him. He wouldn't regret it, even if it came at the cost of everything Din had ever been, everything he'd ever known. Grogu's life was more important than Din's place in the tribe. Din took a breath and made himself continue. But it's against the creed. Why? Din shrugged, not sure how to explain it. He didn't know why. That was the law and always had been. Din hadn't created it. He didn't know who had. Some a lord, maybe, or a council of elders. But it had been the creed for as long as Din could remember. It doesn't matter why, Din said. It doesn't? Of course it carking matters, Boba growled. It doesn't, Din insisted. What matters is that I swore to follow the creed, and then I broke it. I knew what would happen to me on Morak, Boba. It's not like any of this... He jerked his chin towards the bottom of the palace, the hall where Paz and the others had settled. Is a surprise. It went better than I thought it would, actually. Better? Boba stopped talking and pinched the bridge of his nose, like something Din had said was causing him pain. Din, Boba said. Vizsla's down there muttering that as soon as he can walk again, he'll try to kill you.
Din nodded. And that's a better outcome than you thought. Bo's tone had darkened.
Yes, Din said. I thought he'd try and kill me flat out, actually.
You...
Din held up a hand, mouth thinning. He could see that Boba didn't understand. His eyes were dark and clouded. I didn't say that I would let him kill me, Din said. Just that he'd try. And it's not that he wants to kill me, Boba. It's a matter of honor.
A matter of honor, Boba said flatly.
To him, yes.
Boba narrowed his eyes. Explain.
He means it as a mercy, Din said, aiming for gentleness. As a release, as a way out. If he killed me, he'd spare me from living with my shame, my failure, a life as an outcast.
Darmanda.
An outcast, Boba echoed. Din nodded. That's what he was, after all. Cut from the creed, from the covert. Din couldn't go back now that he'd told Paz the truth. Paz would tell the others. And Din was one of the best warriors in his tribe, but he knew that the others would try and do the same thing. Would try to kill Din to spare him from a life of dishonor. And Din didn't know the others well enough. Paz could be made to stop. Paz could recognize that he was beaten, especially now that he had kids to look after.
Your tribe, Boba said flatly, is going to cast you out because you, what, showed your face to save your son?
And have kept doing it, Din pointed out. But yes, the creed, it keeps us together, keeps us safe. They won't ever be able to trust me again. I'm a weak link, rusted armor.
You are not, Boba growled, weak, or dishonorable, or... Din, you are the Mandalore. You're...
He stopped, shook his head. Din's skin prickled. I'm the what, he said. Boba had called him that before, down in Jabba's treasure rooms, here, but Din had thought he'd been saying Mandalorian.
Boba's expression opened with shock. You don't know, he said, do you? What you are.
Din did bristle at that, hard. He set his jaw.
I'm not an idiot, he snarled. I know I'm Darmanda, but Mandalore, I don't know what that is. I didn't grow up like you did. I don't know why, but they never taught us Mandoa.
But you know what that is, Boba said, pointing at Din's hip. Din looked down. His eyes found the hilt of the darksaber.
It's... Gideon just said that it was a weapon, a relic. Kreese wanted it because it's a symbol of an old Mandalorian king, that's all. Gideon said that...
Din stopped. His words caught in his throat. Gideon said that it gives its wielder a claim to the throne of Mandalore. Din wasn't from Mandalore, not like Kreese. She wanted the throne, Din knew. Her sister had ruled there before the Empire. Boba wasn't calling me a Mandalorian. He was saying Mandalore, two words, Mand for Mandalorians and Alor. Cold sweat broke out down Din's back. His mouth was dry.
I am not, Din said, the leader of anything. I'm not an Alor.
That, Boba said, jabbing his finger at the darksaber again, says otherwise. You won it in combat, didn't you?
Yeah, from Gideon, Din said.
And he got it from Kreese when the Empire crushed Mandalore, Boba said. I'll admit that there's some political maneuvering to be done if you wanted to be the Mandalore for real, but... Din, he said, you have a claim to it.
I can't, said Din. His mind had frozen. He couldn't think, couldn't understand what Boba was saying. Din couldn't have a claim to the throne of Mandalore. He was just a bounty hunter.
I'm Darmanda. I can't be this. I can't. Boba shook his head. He didn't understand and could see it. A bubble of panic was rising in his chest. I broke my creed, Dent tried, desperation burning behind his eyes. And I'm sorry. Not that I broke it, but that I didn't tell you, that I lied, that I've let you think that I was Mandalorian all this time, but I broke it. I can't fix it and suddenly be this Mandalore. It doesn't work that way.
You're not a karking droid,
Boba shouted, throwing his hands out. Din pulled back, startled by the outburst.
You're a person.
People karking stars, Din. Boba's voice dropped back to a reasonable volume. Din just stared at him, wide-eyed. You're not a droid. You're a man. And men break their promises sometimes, Boba said. He jabbed a thumb at his chest. I've broken my promises, gone back on my word. My father, he threw his whole creed aside. But to say that he couldn't try to fix it, that I can't try to fix it, that there's no point. Boba shook his head. You broke your creed for a good reason, Boba said firmly. And anyway, a creed that has no give to it, no mercy, that's not a creed worth following. You didn't do anything wrong. Din froze. You didn't, Boba insisted. You're punishing yourself, locking yourself out from your people, but it's not you who's wrong, it's your creed. Don't, Din said. The bubble of panic in his chest burst and flooded him, washed in away like a rogue tide or a sandstorm. It howled in his ears. He couldn't breathe. Don't. It's... Din, Boba said, coming closer, reaching out. He saw that Din was panicked and took Din by the shoulder, drawing him close. It should have been comforting. Had been comforting. Boba had held Din in this room half a dozen times, had soothed him, had talked Din back into his body after a session with the flogger. But this was... It was too much sensation atop the howling storm in Din's thoughts. Mandalore, he kept thinking. The Mandalore. I can't be, I'm not, and my creed. It wasn't Boba's creed, but it had been Din's. It had been Din's creed for his entire adult life. Din, I know it must hurt to hear, Boba pushed. Din screwed his eyes shut. Stop, he wanted to say. Stop, please. I can't hear this. I can't. Because if Boba was right, if it was the creed that was wrong, not Din, if it's the creed, then my whole life, then all of it has been wrong. Everything Din had done for his tribe, the comfort he'd denied himself, the months he'd spent hiding his face from Grogu. If the creed was wrong... Stop, Din whispered. His voice was thin and broken. He wanted to hit something, to lash out, to fight. This level of panic meant that there was a threat somewhere, an enemy, and Din was exposed. But the only person here was Boba, and Din didn't want to hurt him. If Din started fighting, he didn't know if he'd be able to stop. He wasn't supposed to stop. Mandalorians were supposed to fight until the threat was gone, until their enemy had been dealt with. And if the threat was Boba, who Din... No, Din thought, shying away from the depth of the feeling. No, I can't. Sparring was one thing, but this, the awful feeling underneath his skin, was worse. It's not your fault, Boba repeated. A warrior can take their honor back if the path they follow is dishonorable. That's been true for as long as Mandalore has existed. Your creed is... Din bared his teeth. Stop, he cried, trying to pull away. Boba didn't let him, confused. Something in Din tore open. He couldn't breathe. Gev, Din said. Boba tugged him. Din shrugged his hand off, violence bristling underneath his skin. Gev, Boba, I said stop, let me go. Din's words registered, and Boba pulled his hand off like he'd been burned, like he'd been scoured by acid. His eyes were wide. Let me go, Din repeated, even though Boba already had. I can't, I can't. Din, Bubba tried. He didn't reach out again, but his eyes were wide, concern stamped across his scarred face, and Din couldn't even look at him anymore. He couldn't be here. He couldn't breathe. The wide expanse of the desert, the stars, the moons, the empty sand caught Din's eye. A breeze shifted Boba's billowing curtains. Boba's windows, as always, were open. "I can't," Din said, hoping that Boba understood. And before Boba could do anything, could reach out again, could stop him, Din lurched to his feet, took a long step towards the edge of the window, and jumped out into the open sky.